fucking array, Sagan said as they walked up. She turned to Einstein, who was waiting outside for her. They're in here?
They're here, Einstein said.
In the cold room in the back. All of them?
Sagan asked.
I think so. It's hard to tell, Einstein said. They're mostly in parts. The cold room was crammed with meat.
Special Forces soldiers gaped up at the skinned torsos on hooks. Barrels below the hooks were filled with offal. Limbs in various states of processing lay stacked on tables. On a separate table lay a collection of heads, skulls sawed open to extract the brains. Discarded heads rested in another barrel next to the table. A small pile of unprocessed bodies was heaped under a tarp. Jared went to uncover it. Children lay underneath.
Christ, Sagan said.
She turned to Einstein. Get someone over to the colony administration offices, she said. Pull up any medical and genetic records you can find and pictures of the colonists. We're going to need them to identify people. Then get a couple of people to dig through trash cans.
What are we looking for?
Einstein asked.
Scraps, Sagan said. Whoever the array already ate.
Jared heard Sagan give her orders as a buzz in his head. He crouched and stared, transfixed, at the pile of small bodies. At the top lay the body of a small girl, elfin features silent, relaxed, and beautiful. He reached over and gently touched the girl's cheek. It was ice cold. Unaccountably, Jared felt a hard stab of grief. He turned away with a retching sob. Daniel Harvey, who had found the cold room with Einstein, stood over Jared.
First time, he said.
Jared looked up.
What?
He said. Harvey motioned to the bodies with his head.
This is the first time you've seen children, am I right?
Yes,
Jared said.
This is how it happens with us,
Harvey said.
The first time we see colonists, they're dead. The first time we see children, they're dead. The first time we see an intelligent creature who isn't human, it's dead or trying to kill us, so we have to kill it. Then it's dead. It took me months before I saw a live colonist. I've never seen a live child.
Jared turned back to the pile.
How old is this one?
He asked.
Shit, I don't know,
Harvey said, but looked anyway.
I'd guess 3 or 4 years old, 5 tops. And you know what's funny? She was older than both of us put together. She was older than both of us put together twice. That's a fucked up universe, my friend.
Harvey wandered away. Jared stared at the little girl for another minute, then covered her and the pile with the tarp. He went looking for Sagan, who he found outside the colony's administration building.
Dirac, Sagan said as he approached. What do you think of your first mission?
I think it's pretty awful, Jared said.
That it is, Sagan said.
Do you know why we're here? Why we're out here at a wildcat settlement? She asked him. It took Jared a second to realize she had spoken the words out loud.
No,
he said, responding in kind.
Because the leader of this settlement is the son of the Secretary of State for the Colonial Union, Sagan said. The dumb bastard wanted to prove to his mother that the Colonial Union regulations against wildcat settlements were an affront to civil rights.
Are they?
Jared asked. Sagan looked over at Jared.
Why do you ask?
I'm just curious, Jared said.
Maybe they are and maybe they aren't, Sagan said. But either way, the last place to prove that point would have been this planet. It's been claimed by the Array for years, even if they didn't have a settlement on it. I guess the asshole thought that because the CU beat the Array in the last war, maybe they'd look the other way for fear of retaliation. Then 10 days ago, the spy satellite we put in over the planet got shot out of the sky by that cruiser we took out. It got a picture of the cruiser first. And here we are.
It's a mess, Jared said.
Sagan laughed mirthlessly.
Now I've got to go back into that fucking cold room and test corpses until I find the secretary's son,
she said. Then I'll have the pleasure of telling her that the array chopped up her son and his family for food.
His family? Jared asked.
Wife, Sagan said. And a daughter, 4 years old.
Jared shuddered violently, thinking of the girl on the pile.
Sagan watched him intently. Are you okay? She asked.
I'm fine, Jared said. It just seems a waste.
The wife and kid are a waste, Sagan said. The dumb bastard who brought them here got what he deserved.
Jared shuddered again.
If you say so, he said.
I do say so, Sagan said. Now come on. Time to identify the colonists, or what's left of them.
Well, Sarah Pauling said to Jared as he came out of the kite's infirmary, you sure don't do things the easy way. She reached out to his cheek, to the welt that remained there despite the nano-stitching.
You can still see where you got cut.
It doesn't hurt, Jared said, which is more than I can say about my ankle and my hand. The ankle wasn't broken, but the fingers will take a couple of days to fully heal.
Better that than being dead, Pauling said.
This is true, Jared admitted.
And you taught everybody a new trick, Pauling said. Things you didn't know you could do with smart blood. They're calling you Red Hot Jared now.
Everybody knows you can get smart blood to heat up, Jared said.
I saw people using it to fry up bugs on Phoenix all the time.
Yes, everyone uses it to smoke the little bugs, Pauling said. But it takes a certain kind of mind to think of using it to smoke the big bugs.
I wasn't really thinking about it, Jared said. I just didn't want to die.
Funny how that will make a person creative, Pauling said.
Funny how it makes you focus, Jared said. I remembered you telling me I needed to work on that.
I think you may have saved my life.
Good, Pauling said. Try to return the favor sometime.
Jared stopped walking for a moment.
What?
Pauling asked.
Do you feel that? Jared asked.
Feel what? Pauling asked.
I'm feeling like I really want to have sex, Jared said.
Well, Jared, Pauling said, you stopping abruptly in a hallway is not usually how I know you really want to have sex.
Pauling, Dirac, Alex Rentkin said. Rec room. Now, time for a little after-battle celebration.
Ooh, Pauling said. A celebration. Maybe there will be cake and ice cream.
There was no cake or ice cream. There was an orgy. All the members of the second platoon were there, save one, in various stages of undress. Couples and trios lay on couches and cushions, kissing and pressing into each other.
This is an after-battle celebration? Pauling asked.
The after-battle celebration, Alex Rentkin said. Every battle we do this.
Why? Jared asked.
Alex Rentkin stared at Jared, mildly incredulous.
You actually need a reason to have an orgy?
Jared began to respond, but Rentkin held up his hand. One, because we've been through the valley of the shadow of death and come through the other side. And there's no better way to feel alive than this. And after the shit we've seen today, we need to get our minds off it right quick. Two, because as great as sex is, it's even better when everyone you're integrated with is doing it at the same time.
So this means you're not going to pull the plug on our integration?
Pauling asked. She said it teasingly, but Jared sensed the smallest thread of anxiety in the question.
No, Rentkin said, gently. You're one of us now, and it's not just sex. It's a deeper expression of communion and trust, another level of integration.
That sounds suspiciously like bullshit to me, Pauling said, smiling.
Rentkin sent a ping of high amusement.
Well, you know, I won't deny that we're in it for the sex, too, but you'll see.
He held out a hand to Pauling.
Shall we?
Pauling looked over at Jared, winked, and took Rentkin's hand.
By all means, she said.
Jared watched them walk off, and then felt a poke on his shoulder. He turned. Julie Einstein, nude and perky, stood there.
I've come to test the theory that you are red hot, Jared, she said.
Some indefinite time later, Pauling found her way to Jared and lay next to him.
This has been an interesting evening, she said.
That's one way to put it, Jared said.
Rentgen's comment that sex was different when everyone with whom you're integrated is involved turned out to be a rather dramatic understatement. Everyone but one, Jared corrected.
I wonder why Sagan wasn't here, Jared said.
Alex said she used to participate, but now she doesn't, Pauling said. She stopped after a battle where she nearly died. That was a couple of years ago. Alex said participation is strictly optional. No one gives her grief for it.
At the name Alex, Jared felt a sharp pang. He had glimpsed Rentgen and Pauling together earlier while Einstein was on him.
Oh, that would explain it, Jared said awkwardly.
Pauling sat up on an arm.
Did you have a good time with this? She asked.
Well, you know I did, Jared said.
I know, Pauling said. I could feel you in my head.
Yes, Jared said.
And yet, you don't seem entirely happy, Pauling said.
Jared shrugged.
I couldn't tell you why, he said.
Pauling reached over, kissed Jared lightly.
You're cute when you're jealous, she said.
I don't mean to be jealous, Jared said.
No one means to be jealous, I think, Pauling said.
I'm sorry, Jared said.
Don't be, Pauling said. I'm happy we've been integrated. I'm pleased to be a part of this platoon, and this is a lot of fun. But you are special to me, Jared, and you always have been. You are my best beloved.
Best beloved, Jared agreed. Always.
Pauling smiled widely.
Glad to get that settled, she said, and reached down. Now, she said, time for me to get the benefit of my best beloved privileges.
Chapter 7 30 clicks, Jane Sagan said. Everyone off the bus. The soldiers of the second platoon removed themselves from the troop transport and fell into the night sky over Derlu, the capital city of the Anishan Nation. Below them, explosions pocked the sky. Not the violent, potentially transport-shattering eruptions that would mark anti-craft defenses, but the pretty, multicolored flashes that signaled fireworks. It was the final evening of Chafalan, the Anishan celebration of rebirth and renewal. Anishans worldwide were out in their streets, partying and carrying on in a manner appropriate for the time of day where they were, most the Anishan equivalent of slightly drunk and horny. Derlu was especially raucous this Chafalan. In addition to the usual festivities, the celebration this year had also included the consecration of the air, in which Phileb Ser, the Anishan hierarch, officially pronounced her daughter Viut Ser as the future ruler of Anisha. To commemorate the consecration, Phileb Ser had provided a sample of the royal jelly she fed to Viut Ser and allowed a mass-produced synthetic version to be produced, in diluted form, placed in tiny jars and offered as gifts to the citizens of Derlu for the final night of Chafalan. In its natural form and fed to a pre-metamorphic Anishan, the royal jelly caused profound developmental changes that resulted in clear physical and mental advantages once the Anishan developed into adult form. In its diluted and synthesized version, the royal jelly gave adult Anishans a truly excellent hallucinogenic buzz. Most of the citizens of Derlu had consumed their jelly prior to the city's fireworks display and light show, and were now sitting in their private gardens and public parks, clacking their mouthpieces together in the Anishan equivalent of ooh and ah, as the naturally brilliant and explosive nature of the fireworks was pharmaceutically extended across the entire Anishan sensory spectrum. 30 clicks up, and descending rapidly, Jared
could not see or hear the dazzled Enishans, and the fireworks below were brilliant but distant, the sound of their explosions lost in the distance and the thin Enishan stratosphere.